Please, to the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter and the 39th verse, page 398, if you're using the Scofield Reference Bible, the 39th verse of 1 Kings, chapter 8. We'll read this verse, we'll turn to yet another verse in the book of 2 Chronicles, and I'll give you that reference a little bit later. Shall we all now stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? Then we'll read this verse in unison. I want you to join with me, please. There on verse 39, ready? Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Now to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter, the 30th verse, page 495. Chapter 6 of the book of 2 Chronicles, verse 30. And let's please read that verse in unison. Ready? Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. And let's pray. Father, thou art so very, very good to us. We thank thee for the blessings, the joys, yes, even the miracles of this past week. Thank you for youth conference and that which was accomplished during that good week here. Thank you now for this Sunday morning service. Bless, we pray, the folks who are here, quite a number of them weary because of the past week. Others very, very needy. All of us have some need of thee and what thou dost have to offer us through the preaching of thy word. So bless the preacher. Bless our hearts toward the hearing of the man of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me read you, without your turning to it, what you read a while ago and didn't notice. Listen carefully. Very carefully listen. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive. Now this is a prayer to God. And do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, parenthesis, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. The prayer to God says, thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Now, when something is important, often God underlines it or mentions it twice. In his words, we find about the same thing in 2 Chronicles 6:30, which says, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, parenthesis, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that anybody who knows me more than casually, I'm talking about those with whom I work. I'm talking about these good men on the platform that God has given me as my fellow laborers. I'm talking about Mrs. Bordway, who types my letters hundreds and hundreds a year. I'm talking about those who know me best. I believe they would tell you that Brother Hiles tries to feel the hurt of other people. I believe with all my heart that I make a sincere effort. Never a tear falls from your cheeks. But what if I know it? My eyes are moistened too. Never a hurt pierces your heart like a saber. But what I try to have the same saber pierce my heart. You have no idea how many times in a week I sit alone and try to feel. There's not a week passes, but what I don't do this. In my motel room, somewhere across the country, I get my handkerchief And I tie it like that. And I walk for several minutes, sometimes 10 or 15, with my eyes blinded. I shave that way. I find my way to the bathtub maybe that way. Or I'll dress that way. Why? Because there's some people sitting over here this morning who are blind. And I want to feel how they feel. If it be just for a season, I want to empathize with them. Never a week passes. Never. But I do not take at least 10 to 30 minutes and get me some Kleenex and do this. And I'll completely stop as best I can my ears so I cannot hear. Why? Because I want these scores of people sitting back here this morning to feel like Brother Hyles sympathizes with them. I go down to the rescue mission often when you fellows are not there. And I go upstairs and lie down for a while on the cots where you sleep. And I wonder how I'd feel if I couldn't see ever my children, my loved ones, friends. You see, most of us do not care about the thoughts of the rest of us. But the Bible says, and I like this, the Bible says, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. God knows your heart. I cannot fully understand your burden, but he does. I try, but I cannot fully feel the pain that comes from the savor of suffering, but he does. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. For the days are weary, the long nights dreary. I know my Savior cares. You see, anything you suffered, he suffered. The Bible says he was in all points tempted. And the word tempted is not the best translation there. not talking about tempted to get drunk or tempted to kill somebody, though he was tested. But in all points, he was tested like we are. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you, but far better, the larger word, there's no testing taken you. That's why I think the Lord Jesus came as a baby. He didn't have to come as a baby. I think he came as a baby so he could understand the baby that cries in the nursery. I think he came as a baby so that he could someday be a beginner, understand the 4- and 5-year-old child's life and burdens. I think that's why he was a primary and a junior higher. And a high schooler, as it were, a teenager. That's why I think he was a young adult. Why? I think our Lord wanted to be able to walk to you young ladies this morning and say, I know how you feel. I know the burdens of a teenager. I know the testings of somebody who's in their teen years. I think that's why our Lord was a child, the age of you children over here. The Lord Jesus wanted to say to you, your problems, and he wanted to say to you, I know your problems. I've been right there. I understand it. And the Lord Jesus can say this morning to that one whose heart is the heaviest, I understand it. He knoweth the hearts of all men. I think that's so wonderful. You have to stop and think about something. Dr. Evans, not many people can say, if any, that they know my problems. Not many. There's no place I can go to a pastor of a larger church and say, would you mind telling me what I do next? I sometimes wish there were. I wept into the night. The first time we ever had more in Sunday school than Tennessee Temple did. I didn't want to, really. I felt like my daddy had died or something. I didn't want to. But God knows. He's been there. That's why he can sit on the right hand of the Father this morning and intercede. He can be our daysman, our mediator, our intercessor, our go-between, our advocate, our attorney. He's been there. And when we're tempted, and weak, the Father, in His justice and in His righteousness and holiness, may be prone somehow to pour His wrath. But Jesus sits on His right hand and says, Father, I paid for that sin, but that isn't all. Father, I was there. I know. I think sometimes God looks down and says, you know, Hiles, the way He treats those deacons, that's an awful way to treat deacons. And I think God the Father said, I think I'll just kill old Hiles. Wait a few years. I got so much I want to do. But I'll kill old Hiles because the way He treats those deacons. And the Lord Jesus reaches over and says, Father, you don't understand. You never had any deacons. But I was down there. I know how they are. And have mercy on him. He understands. He had a board of 12. And one betrayed him, and the other one, another one denied him, and they all forsook him and fled. I know how you felt. I think about this. Always think about the little girl. Her dad was a doctor, and came to the church. In fact, I think the Sharp family. And what was his name, Dave? What? Mingay. Yeah, right. And little girl. She's grown, lovely lady, but. She used to say, I like First Baptist. They moved away down to Champaign, Illinois. And they tried to find a church, and she couldn't find a church she liked. And she said, I want to go back to First Baptist. And her mother and dad, who were saved here, they said, look, honey, there are good churches down here. She said, not like First Baptist. And they said, well, what's so good about First Baptist you can't find down here? And she said, because Brother Howell stands behind the pulpit and all the demons sit down on the front. And the Lord Jesus understood that. I think that's so wonderful. But may I hasten to say, and this is what I want to emphasize this morning, that word only, for thou, even thou only, knoweth the hearts of the children of men. Now wait a minute. Thou only. That means I don't know your heart. Thou only. That means your mom and dad couldn't understand, didn't know your heart. Thou only. Wait a minute. That means the devil doesn't know either. Huh? That means the devil doesn't know. The devil does not know what's going on down in here or down in here. Yeah. Now, the only way you can find out is you tell him. He doesn't know. People oftentimes say, Brother Hiles, why are you always on top side? Don't you ever get discouraged? I'll tell you a little secret. I don't want the devil to hear it. In fact, I won't even tell you. I'll just... You know why? I don't want the devil to know. Because if he knew when I was discouraged, he could attack me. But what the devil doesn't know doesn't hurt me. And if I can keep it a secret, then that's why I try to be on top side. I like to say, everything's all right in my Father's house. I never go to anybody and say, I've got a problem, and I want you to give me some advice. Everything's all falling apart. If everything's falling apart, I'm not going to tell anybody. Say, why? I don't want the devil to know about it. He'll find out I'm weak that day, and he'll launch a bombardment. He'll send little imps out of hell, little demons out of hell. If I tell him, listen to me, the devil doesn't have to know what's in your heart, and he cannot know unless you let him know. Nobody knows what's in your heart but you and God. And so, I'm simply saying, somebody says, well, it's just as bad to think it as to say it. You may be an idiot in other areas too, besides that. It's not just as bad to think it as it is to say it. It's not. In the first place, saying what you think sometimes causes grief and heartache and pain and broken hearts and broken lives and broken dreams and broken air castles. It's not as bad to think it as it is to say it. Now, it is as much wrong to think it, but it's not as bad. It doesn't do the damage. It doesn't do the demolition that saying it does. But also, it doesn't let somebody know it. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't you let him know. That's one reason why I'm on top side all the time. Many a person has revealed his weakness to Satan and has become the object of a satanic attack. Look, rather than coming down to the breakfast table in the morning or getting up and saying, griping to your wife, oh, I'm so tired, I'm just worn out, I just don't
Don't let the old evil one know it. Old Smutty Face will launch an attack on you. He'll find out this is a bad day. Be like a baseball third base coach. Have signs to give to your wife. You've seen him over there, you know. Just let this mean it don't feel good today, you know. Gripe. See, and don't tell the devil what the signs are. And your wife can just look at you when you get up in the morning, look at you, and you can just, you know. And she'll say, it's going to be a bad day for him. You see, look, folks, look. I honestly believe with all of my heart, a Christian is so dumb to always be expressed. There is not a person in this room this morning but one who couldn't complain the rest of the day. If you chose to. And by the way, you'd probably have a real reason to. But there's no need. Why? There's several reasons. In the first place, you dig a hole deeper and deeper and deeper for yourself. And you make yourself discouraged. In the second place, you discourage everybody around you. But in the third place, you reveal to the Satan something he does not know. And then you become easy prey for an attack from him who does not know the secrets of the heart. Many a person has complained. Satan has heard it and has led others to spread gossip. Did you hear what I said? Satan always is the father of gossip. If you ever spread something, I don't care if it's true or not. If you're a dirt spreader, Satan inspired you to do that. Holy Spirit never inspires you to spread something bad about somebody. Never. All this filth and dirt we fundamentally spread about each other. God's not the author of that. No, sir. No, sir. God is not. He is not. We need to learn some things in the Bible about love. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am a fundamentalist. I'll tell you, I dot every fundamental I, cross every fundamental T. There is not a man alive. I mean it, and I'll put my convictions beside anybody's in the entire world. There is not a man alive who meets the qualifications of being a fundamentalist any more than Jack Miles does. But brother, it's not a fundamental doctrine to slander each other. It's not. Somebody needs to learn the scriptures. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. I'm simply saying this. I'm saying that the devil is the author of gossip. And many of you give him stuff about which he can gossip because you complain all the time, and he hears about it and he spreads it and tells others, and they spread it before you know it. Slanders out about you, which is not true, because you yourself let the devil know about it. Now, I don't know how you're going to live your life. But I'm not going to get up in the morning. Oh, brother. This morning, I had several things I had to do when I first woke up. First thing I had to do was find out who I was. And the second thing, if I still was. And the third thing, where I was. You'd be surprised if you slept in as many different beds as I do, and as many motels as I do, you'd be surprised how hard it is to find out where you are some morning. And then I had to decide what day it was. And so that is a real problem sometimes for me. And then, this eye would not open. Now, this one was alert. But this one would not open. I slapped it and rubbed it. It just wouldn't open. Some of you folks get up. Huh? Oh, my. Don't feel very good. Not me, buddy. Bless God, if I can get up, I feel good. Somebody said, I wish I could jump out of bed like you do. I don't jump out of bed. I get resurrected. But I'm not going to gripe. I'm going to get up and say, hallelujah, bless God, I am able to get out of it. My legs will move. I'm not paralyzed. I'm not in the hospital. I'm not sick. I can get up. Be on the top side. Always on the top side. Many reasons. Not the least of which is, I'm not going to let the devil know early in the morning how I feel. Because he'd say, I can get old Jack now. I can get him now. When he finds out, he launches his attack. When a fighter in a boxing match, all he's got to do is see Brother Claire a slight cut over here above the eye.
And then what does he do? He wears away at it. He hits that cut and makes it bigger and makes it bigger, makes it bigger, makes it bigger. Why? He sees a weak spot. And that's what the devil does. The devil hears some of you ladies complain in the morning early. God bless you. He hears you complain. And the devil says, I see a weak spot. I'll hit it. I'll hit it. I'll hit it. I'll hit it. When a quarterback notices a defensive halfback getting up from knocking a pass down with a touch of a limp, what does that quarterback do? He sends his split end down that side of the field. And he, listen, the Dallas Cowboys lost one of their best defensive backs this year and put a substitute in. Same thing with the Chicago Bears. They lost this defensive back, Ellis. They put a substitute in. I want you to know, for 4 or 5 games, that's the only side they threw to. And you watch it carefully. You watch it. When a professional football team is clicking well, oftentimes they throw the ball to the same side of the field. Same side of the field. Same fire. They find a weakness. They find that weakness. They keep on bombarding that weakness. And the devil does that. Oh, let me tell you. Get up. Be on the top side. Everything's all right in my Father's house. I'm alive. I'm well. I'm saved. My name is written in heaven. I'm on my way to glory. Holy Spirit lives in here. The Bible's my book. Heaven's my home. God's my Father. Christ is my Savior. Holy Spirit indwells me. I'm on top side. Don't ever be on the bottom side. Because the devil finds your weakness. And then he bombards it. When a pitcher finds a weakness in a batter, maybe tight inside. They say Bobby, not Bobby Thompson. What's this right fielder for the Cubs that's such a good left-handed hitter? Scott Thompson for the Cubs. They say somebody found that he has a weakness over the inside corner where he has to swing with his hands close to the ball. I don't think they're right. I think the guy's a natural hitter, but what they're doing now, you watch him. What they're doing now, they're pitching Scott Thompson on the fist. It's around the league, on the fist. Somebody got it out. Somebody told it. Suppose one day Scott Thompson was talking, and he said, boy, oh boy, I hope they don't throw me on the fist anymore. I wouldn't tell him that. I wouldn't tell him. Suppose Scott Thompson, being interviewed maybe on radio someday, Lou Boudreau says, Scott, do you have a weakness? Yes, I do. I wish I didn't. I just have a weakness. I never have been able to hit the ball on the inside corner of the plate when it's thrown on the fist. Idiot, almost as much as you are when you complain and tell of your weaknesses, and the devil hears you and launches his demons from the abyss to come and to launch an attack on your weakness. That's one of the main reasons God's people ought to always be on the top side. Who is it? Chuck Tanner played Bjorn Borg for Wimbledon tennis this year. Chuck Tanner almost won, but Borg found out something. He found out Tanner had a what? He had a weaker backhand than did forehand. And he just kept hitting the ball, the backhand. And kept hitting it. Never the forehand. Backhand, backhand, backhand. Why? Because he got his weakness. I'm so glad that God knows my heart. By the way, I won't do this so often. When I get criticized, I want to just rip it open. Say, folks, look at it. Look at it. Sometimes I want to say, if you just knew what was in here. Well, you can't know. There's no way you can know. But thank God he knows. He knows. He knows the pain I feel. He knows the hurt. He knows my sincerity. He knows my motives. He knows my desires. He knows my heartaches. He knows my weaknesses. But thank God he only knows. If the devil finds you discouraged, he'll attack your discouragement. If he finds your temptation, main temptation, he'll attack it. And this is, by the way, let me say this too. You say, wait a minute now. What if I confess my sins to God? You say, the devil doesn't know my heart.
if I say it, he'll hear it, and he'll know, and he'll attack me. I better not confess my sins.
Check Matthew 6:6, and says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Huh? And thy Lord, which heareth thee in secret. There's one place in this world where you can go and speak openly your innermost thoughts and lay your burdens and bear them openly. And the devil, he can't hear you. And that's in the prayer closet. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer. So this morning, when you go to your prayer closet, prayer closet is anywhere you need to talk to God. Huh. See, the Lord has earphones. And when you talk to God, only God hears. And the devil does not hear. So I'm saying, if you have a burden, Brother Eau Claire, you've been coming to see me every Friday afternoon, Friday evening, for several years. When you're in town and not selling candy, or not going to Florida by way of Toronto, you never have walked in and I said, oh, Brother Claire, I just want to tell you, my heart aches. Dr. Evans, you never have walked in on Saturday morning and I said, Doc, I'm so glad to see you. Nothing's going right. I don't do that. You say, why? Because there's somebody I don't want to find out. Now, it may be, Doc, that just before you came in, it may be I was on my face telling him. For he understands. He alone understands. And he alone knows the sincerity of the heart. There is a devil. He is real. He is after you. He has you in his sights. He wants to destroy you and wreck you and ruin you. And many of you folks are playing right into his hand this morning. I say again, he does not know your heart. He alone knows your heart. And that means this morning, that means if you have a sin, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Hear me now. Tell it to Jesus. Are you troubled over joys departed? Hear me now. Tell it to Jesus alone. Why? He alone can understand. He alone knows completely the heartache and the problem. I'm not saying there aren't times when you have to come to somebody and seek counsel. I'm not saying there aren't times when you come to somebody and you say, I need your advice. I need your counsel. I think that's good. I'm talking about this perennial complaining, negative, foul, screaming at the kids, fussing at the wife, hollering at the husband, griping at the family. When your husband comes in some night and he says, how was your day? Try this. If you hate him and want to get him, say, wonderful. Then you'll be a widow. Dr. Evans, I've known Dr. Bob Jones, Dr. John Rice. I've known Dr. Bob Sr. I've known Dr. Robertson many years. I've never heard of one of them. Never heard of one of them when they were down. Never have. Never have. Don't you think Dr. Robertson has some members that don't like him? But you'll never find out. Don't you think Dr. Bob Jones sometimes has some students that don't like him? But you'll never find out. You reckon maybe that's one of the secrets? Huh? Huh? Don't tell him I said this. Maybe the devil just hasn't found out what a crook Robertson is yet. I know he hadn't found out what a crook I am, unless you told him. But I'm not going to tell him. Why? Say, why? I didn't know why. I want, in the first place, nobody really understands but Jesus anyhow. Mr. O'Clare, come here. Tell me how rough morning you had. How everything is going bad.
Oh, it was terrible this morning. It was awful.
It's too bad. I don't feel good myself.
Yeah.
I got a stiff knee here.
I had to go get my bus and it wasn't ready.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I got a crick in the neck.
The steering wheel was dirty. Got it all over my hands.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Didn't get breakfast.
See what? I've had a cold for 3 weeks. I just really don't feel good.
Well, you got to hear my problems.
Huh?
Mine are worse than yours.
Oh, I want you to know I sympathize with yours. I really do.
Mine are worse. God
that I don't feel very good. I got
my sinuses are all.
Yeah, get out of here. That did it. I'm going to let you know how I feel right now, old boy. Now, honestly, that's exaggerated some, but it's about the truth. Say, a famous philosopher said, happy ought to be the man who has one person in the world who, if he found out he had died, wouldn't eat the next meal. Did you hear me? Happy is the man who has one person in the world who, if he found out he just died, would not eat the next meal. But blessed be God, there is one who understands, who knows the whys and the hurts and the burdens and the sorrows. Tell it to Jesus alone. And if this morning you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, one of the finest reasons, the most important reasons you ought to do it, is as you sit there now unconverted, there is not one single person in the universe who really, to whom you can go and bare your heart and tell your problems. Wouldn't you like to have him? Wouldn't you like to know him? Wouldn't you like to have him in your heart? Wouldn't you like for there to be somebody to whom you could go and say, Jesus, and where the devil can't hear? Huh? Where the devil doesn't find out about it? And you can say, Jesus, the load's heavy today, and the burden is more than I can bear. Please, help me. Help me. There's a couple in this room this morning with whom I sat till almost midnight one night this week, whose teenage daughter rebelled. For the first night in her life, she did not sleep in their house. And this morning, they're in this room, and their hearts are just about broken. Sweet, lovely people. Last night, I talked to a young father who loves his children like you love yours, whose little boy has leukemia. And he said, Brother Hiles, what can I do? Give me advice exactly what to do. Aren't you glad, Mr. Gephardt, that knot, that cancerous knot that was removed from you, aren't you glad there's some place you can go? I can't fully understand it. I work at it. I really do. But I can't fully understand it. But aren't you glad there's somewhere you can go and say, Dear God, I need your help. I need your strength. And that in itself is enough reason for you to want to become a child of God. By faith in Jesus who paid the penalty for you on Calvary and became your substitute and your sacrifice. Let us pray.